Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are worthy of being our vision, our life. You are God, you are eternal, you are sovereign, all-powerful, Father, all-wise. And God, we thank you that you are here with us today. We thank you that you loved us from eternity past, that you conceived the salvation's plan to send Jesus to save us. We thank you, Father, that it is now just that you would deliver us from our sins because Jesus has died for us. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit who applied your word to our heart, gave us insights into the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would give us further work of your Spirit today, that we would grow in the word, and that you would bless Aaron Coffey, Stephanie, the entire team and family. We pray, God, that they would feel a part of our church, that they would know our love for them, and Father, we would know their love for us as well. God bless Aaron as he comes to give a few words about how the week will go. And I pray, Father, that you would just place us all on the same page, help us to understand what is at stake, what the strategy is. Father, love, submission to your word, and a time to be saturated in it. And I pray, God, that you would bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have Aaron Coffey. Most of you know him. He is an evangelist, travels the United States, and he has been with us at least three or four different visits he's been here, and we are thankful to have him once again. So, Aaron, if you come.
I know you don't know me super well, but it's risky business. I get it. It's risky business inviting a friend, a relationship, a coworker, and trusting him, trusting that person to share the gospel with them. I mean, you never know what those evangelists are going to say, right? So I promise I'll be super gentle, but I'll tell them the truth and be very tactful in the way that we do it. But we have a wonderful time with our Irish concert. So thankful for the way the Lord has blessed that and given us opportunity to share the gospel with so many people. What I'd love to do this morning is to look at a passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 4, if you have your Bible. Colossians chapter 4. We're going to have a little bit of a prayer time in here this morning. I thought that would be great for us to do. Paul is finishing up his Colossian letter. Hey, Pastor, what time should I be trying to wrap up here? 20 after. Oh, I have all kinds of time. All right. Colossians chapter 4. Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Colossian church. He is he's really been addressing some things in this letter. And I sort of feel like by the time we get to chapter 4, verse 2, I sort of feel like he has addressed his main purpose of the letter, and he is really moving into an area where he is kind of wrapping up shop, I guess, wrapping up this letter and just kind of giving some closing instructions, some greetings that we find here. But I want us to look at what he says in Colossians chapter number 4, we're just going to sit on verse 2 and 3. But I'll read right now 2, 3, and 4. But I think he gives us some instruction on prayer that I would love to take and really lead us in a little bit of some time in prayer. And I think it will be good for us as we come into this morning's time of worship in a few moments in our morning worship service, but then as we come into the week as well. So in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Let me lead us in prayer, but even right now as I pray, I'd love to challenge you this morning in of prayer. I don't know where you are in your prayer life. I will say this, though. I have never, in all of my years of traveling, we started doing this in 2002, so it's been a little while that we've been on the road. I've never had a single person look at me. Now, maybe somebody would do this and would feel like they could say this, but I've never had a single person look at me and say, "Hey, you know what, as far as I know, I really feel like I pray as much as I ought to, or pray as deep as I ought to." I've just never had anybody tell me that. Now, I have had many people tell me that they don't feel that they pray as they ought to pray. And I think that there's probably a healthiness to at least to understanding that a matter that your prayer life is an area of growth. Should we ever really be satisfied with where we are in our prayer life? I mean, maybe it's not a matter of the time spent. Maybe it is that we should grow in, but maybe it's more just a deeper prayer life. Either way, I think that for the most part, this is an area that Christians know and understand is an area that we are to constantly be growing in. And so would you pray, even as we begin right now, that God would challenge you in this area of prayer? Would you pray, hey, God, I don't want to be satisfied. If this is an area I'm supposed to be growing in, help me grow. Help me deepen. Let's come to the Lord and just pray. And I'm just opening this up here, but we're gonna look at this passage and even work in a couple little seasons of prayer just between you and the Lord. But let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at this. Would you just ask Him now to help you? Father, we do need your help. We want to pray, and we want to pray as we ought to pray. Lord, forgive us when we don't pray as we ought. Lord, when maybe we don't spend the time that we ought. Or Lord, when we don't really know your word well enough to really pray in accordance with your will because we have a wrong understanding of really what we're to be praying for. Lord, at the same time, sometimes we don't pray because we don't trust you. And Lord, sometimes we just pray because we're so independent, or we don't pray because we're so independent or self-sufficient. We just don't believe we need you. God, would you please help us? Lord, help us as we look now at your word. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. In verse number 2, he just makes a little statement here that at the beginning he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. The King James just says, continue in prayer. I think the ESV is what I'm using here. I think it appropriately says the word steadfastly. The reason why is because there is a modifier on this verb that needs to be expressed somehow. It's an intensifier, so it's basically continue intensely, passionately, persistently. I don't really know. The ESV says steadfastly, and I like that. I think it's good. I really do think the idea here is letting there be a persistence in the way that we pray. Are you a persistent prayer? Let me tell you a story that Jesus told, kind of a funny story. We won't turn there, but in Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. But then Jesus, while he is still teaching them to pray, he tells a story, funny story. You'll know this story. He says, in this story Jesus tells, he says, you know, a man, some guests come to him in the middle of the night, some friends of his come to him in the middle of the night. And so in that culture, you would immediately bring them into your house. They would be in danger. You wouldn't send them down to the Holiday Inn Express, right? You'd bring them into your house. You'd put food in front of them. That would be the normal cultural right thing to do. Is if you had friends come to you in the middle of the night and they needed a place, you'd bring them in. You'd give them a place to sleep. You'd give them food. He says, but you bring them in, you don't have any food. So this man, he goes to his neighbor, knocks on the door, and he says, hey, I have some friends who've come to me in the middle of the night. I don't have anything to give them. Can I have some bread to give them? And your neighbor from inside says, what are you doing? Go away. I'm asleep. My kids are asleep. And listen to what the Bible says. Jesus says this. He says, though he will not give him, because he's his neighbor, the bread that he needs to give to his guests. He says, though he will not give it to him because he's neighbor, he says this. Here's a good old English word for you. The King James says, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him what he needs. And in the ESV, it's, but because of his persistence, he will rise and give him what he needs. Now listen to what Jesus says next. He says, and I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. He's still telling them how to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty audacious. I don't really recommend trying that with your neighbors, right? It sounds pretty audacious to go and to just knock. And it's not, Jesus is definitely not saying that the Father is like an impatient neighbor who finally says, okay, fine, would you just take it? So you'd stop knocking. It's not saying that that's how God's response is, but he is showing us that we're to be people who are persistent in this matter of prayer. Now, folks, I don't know if that rubs you wrong a little bit, but I mean, I'm just straight from Jesus. This is how he told us to pray. We are to be persistent in this matter of prayer. We are to be knockers who keep on coming. So here's my question for you. Do you have areas in your prayer life in which maybe you need to be more persistent? Or you need to endure? You've grown weary in the well-doing of praying, and you need God to help you to keep coming and keep knocking. And that doesn't mean that you don't trust him. It doesn't mean that you don't, and we'll get to this in just a few moments. It doesn't mean that you believe he's not answering. And it doesn't mean that I don't like your answer, God, so I'm going to keep pestering you. But it does show that God that we really believe that God hears us, that God cares about us, and so we keep coming and laying our burdens before him. I don't think there's any way you can get around that picture of Jesus saying that we are to continue coming. And we'll look at what that passage says in just a few minutes. But let me just quickly say this. When it comes to what kind of prayer I think he's talking about, I read an article back several years ago, and it was such a good article. It was on prayer, and there were several different parts to it. They all started with the letter F. I remember it was alliterated, and I don't remember any of them, but 2 points that were made. And he was on one point, he was talking about the freedom that we have in prayer, but then he was also talking about the form that we should have in prayer. And on the freedom, talking about the freedom that we have to pray as we go through life, pray as we walk through life, pray no matter what you're doing in life. Did you know that you can pray as you roll through this life? You can pray. Did you know that I can pray between my trailer? You folks saw my trailer right here. I can pray between my trailer and the church building, right? I mean, we can be talking to the Lord all the time. You don't have to be in your closet, you know, with the door, you know, on your knees with your eyes closed in order to be communing with God. We can constantly be in prayer. You can be praying while you're driving down the road, right? You better not have your eyes closed, you know? We can be taught in the freedom that we have. It's awesome. I mean, we can come to him as his children all the time. Boldly, we can come into his presence. My son, Joby, not too long ago, had a nightmare. And he's my 7-year-old at the time. He was probably, I guess he was 6, but he came boldly. Folks, boldly, I'm talking, into my bedroom. He did not care if I was asleep. He didn't care if we slept for the rest of the night as he wiggled his way up between me and his mama. I mean, the audacity. Who does he think he is? Well, he's my son. And you know what? He was scared, and he was welcome. Till he got back to sleep. Then I put him back in his bed. But, folks, we're welcome. Do you know who you are? As we roll through this life, we can come to our Father. I'm talking all the time, anytime. But here's where this article really pinned me to the wall. He talked about how that sometimes your prayer life kind of takes on maybe your personality. Can I tell you something? Praying, the freedom to pray, praying on the move, that actually fits me. I kind of on the move, you know, all the time. That's how I roll. You'll probably notice as I'm here, I may be a little bit on the hyper side just by personality. I mean, sitting still isn't one of my greatest traits. So praying on the move, man, that's awesome. All the time. Started talking about the importance of form. That's when you do shut out the world. That's when you do find your way into your place. And you close things out, whether you're working through your prayer journal or what it is, but you come and you spend those seasons and they're being formed and the depth that we go in those times. And I mean, you know, I just think about the way, okay, take my children. Probably one of the biggest overwhelming areas in my prayer life is praying for my children. You know what? I pray for my kids on the move all the time, but I'm not going to go but so deep on the move, you know? When I'm driving down the road, if I'm going to pray for my kids, it sounds like, hey, Lord, help Asher to obey his mom today. You know, help Liam to do well in school. Help Ella, you know, to not waste time. Lord, help them to be kind to one another. Normal stuff. But folks, my kids have some deep things that I need to pray about. My kids have deep areas that they don't even understand. And those aren't going to happen while I'm walking from here to my trailer. Those are going to happen as, you know what I do? As I labor. You know what? This knocking, this is some labor in prayer. Folks, some persistent, intercessory labor for the people in our life that we love, for circumstances that we need to see God work. And I think my simple question that I would love for us now to just take and turn and pray about is, do you have areas of life in which you need God to help you be persistent? You need God to help you. Maybe you've grown weary in well-doing. And so I'd love just to take, and we're not going to take long. We're going to take about 45 seconds. But just between you and the Lord, would you just say, God, would you help me, Lord, to go deeper? Help me to see the need. Help me to see the freedom that I can have. Lord, I don't pray as I cruise through the day, maybe. Or you'd say, Lord, I do pray as I cruise, but I don't have those seasons that are deep where I'm really coming and laying out the burdens of my heart to you. Folks, let's come to him. Let's ask God to help us to be persistent in the matter of prayer. Can we do that? I'll butt in about 45 seconds, and then we'll look at the next phrase here. Let's pray. Father, we do come. Lord, help us to be persistent knockers, Lord, who are coming and laying our burdens before you, praying deeply about the things that touch our lives and the lives of those we love. Lord, help us, we pray. And we commit it to you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's look at the next phrase. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So this whole picture of being watchful, almost like a watchman, watching over, you have all throughout the Bible, you have this picture of a watchman. The cities would be up on hills. They would have walls around them. You'd have a watchman watching over the city, especially by night, right? Being watchful in it, talking about in the midst of your prayer, You're watching. What are you watching for? I mean, think about a watchman. What was a watchman watching for? I mean, on one side, the quick answer is the enemy. But he didn't hope that he saw the enemy. So this doesn't even make sense. The picture kind of falls apart. You know, watching, praying and then watching in it, but not like a watchman who's watching for the enemy. The watchman watched for something else. He waited for it, and he couldn't wait till it got there. What was he watching for? He was watching for the sunrise. He was watching for the morning, right? The psalmist said, like as the watchman waits for the morning, so my soul waits for you. When he says that we are to pray with steadfastness and then we are to watch, he's talking about the eager anticipation of us watching and waiting to see what God is going to do. And, there's never been a watchman who's ever stood on the top of a city wall watching and waiting through the night. There's never been a single one waiting for the morning that the morning didn't get there, right? I have a question for you. Do you believe that God answers your prayer? I mean, on one side, what kind of a Christian are you if you say no to that one, right? Here's the real one. Do you believe that God answers your prayer all the time? Now, see, we kind of struggle with that, don't we? And the reason why we struggle with that is because sometimes we don't feel like he's answering our prayer because he's not answering how? Yeah, well, he's not answering like we want him to, and so we say, well, he's not answering my prayer. I still have this trial going on. He's not answering my prayer. We still have this sickness going on. He's not answering my prayer. We're still in the middle of this crisis in our family. Well, folks, I mean, is God only hearing you and only answering you when he is answering the way you want him to? I mean, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. No, we have a God who hears, and we have a God who answers. I'm telling you, as sure as the sun rises in the morning, we have a God who hears our prayers, the prayers of his children. He hears and he answers. Now, the struggle really is that he answers many times in ways that we don't want him to. And so our struggle is in those moments. We feel like that he's not answering. But that's why the last two words of this verse are so important. The last two words of this verse, listen to what it says. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. How are we to do this? With what? With thanksgiving. Folks, when he throws those two words on the end of this, with thanksgiving, there is a step up in faith by those two words, even than just watching. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have faith to watch and wait for his answer. But listen to this matter of faith. I'm so convinced that how he answers my prayer is what is best. I'm so convinced of it. I already have a stance in my heart towards him, one of thanksgiving, because not only do I believe he answers, I believe he answers what's best. And so I'm going to come to him, okay, and this is going to be tough, right? I'm going to come to him praying that he takes this trial away. But God, even if you don't, I'm so convinced that you're such a good father. I'm convinced that you're answering in the way that's best, so convinced that I already have a heart of thankfulness to you. I trust you that much. God, I'm going to pray that you take this cancer away. But God, even if you don't, even if you don't answer the way I want you to, I so know that you're a good God who gives good gifts to your children, that even in this, with tears flowing down my face, God, I still trust you. And I'm going to have thankfulness in my heart to you because I know that you do what's best. Folks, this isn't easy. It's not easy at all. But I'm telling you, that is what Paul is saying, that we are to pray with persistence, that we are to watch waiting for his answer with eager anticipation, but the whole time we have a predetermined thankfulness because we know who he is. We are his children. I mean, you know, okay, so that passage in Luke 11 where I said Jesus told them to pray, they came to him and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And so he gave him the Lord's Prayer. Then he told him this funny story about this guy knocking on his neighbor's door. And he says, and I say to you, ask, you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock on the door, shall be opened to you. Listen how he finishes his teaching on prayer. It is a stab in the gut to those of us who are parents. He says, I mean, how many of you, your child comes to you and they ask for bread and you'd give them a stone? How many? You, your children come to you and ask for fish and you would give them a serpent. They ask for an egg and you would give them a scorpion. And listen, here's the statement. He says, and you being evil, talking about just that we're fallen. We're not perfect parents. He says, and you being not perfect parents, you still know how to love and give to your children. How much more your perfect Father is going to give to you. Folks, do we trust him? So much so. I mean, just this morning, okay? I mean, just this morning, my wife pulled, I don't even know why that something popped up, and it was a Facebook post of, was that somebody you knew? A mutual friend of ours. Her husband just died. Her husband just died of COVID. And this lady stands up, and I mean, I don't know how she did it. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. But she stood up at her own husband's funeral, and she sang the song, "It Is Not Death to Die." And I mean, it was so obvious with tears flowing down her face that she was still praising him because she knew he hadn't made a mistake. And that was just this morning. I'm like tearing up, you know. I'm like, how is she singing this at her husband's funeral? But folks, it really does come down to, do we trust him that he is a good father who gives good gifts? And so I would challenge you, and I don't think we have time to pray about this one because I have one more that I want us to come to. But really, if we were going to take a time, if we had the time, we'd take another minute here. But if you were just going to say, God, what is the hardest thing right now that I've been praying about, and it's the hardest thing for me to be thankful for as to what the outcome is? God, help me to be thankful even in this, even though it hurts, even though I'm struggling. God, I just help me to trust you this much that I just believe that you're doing what's best for me. So much so that I thank you, God, even in advance, no matter how you answer. Now, I want to turn a corner here, and I want us to look at verse 3. He's still talking about prayer, but he turns a corner, and I think this is a challenge that we need to have. When it comes to this matter of prayer, he's talking about praying with persistence. If I were putting points to this, and I was like rolling all the way through this, pray with persistence, really pray with faith, believing, anticipating that he's answering. But then pray with thanksgiving, no matter how he answers. But then the last one, it's total turn. But I really believe what he says here in verse number 3 is really to pray with, to pray evangelistically. Listen to what he says in verse number 3. At the same time, so in the midst of this praying, while you're praying, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. So he now says, in the midst of this praying, would you pray also for us that God would open up a door for us to proclaim the mystery of Christ, preach the good news of the gospel. I believe that's what the mystery of Christ there is. You also have the mystery that Paul talks about, that the good news of Jesus Christ had been opened up, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. That's a mystery. That's not the mystery I think he's talking about here. I think he's just talking about the good news of the gospel, period. That God would open up a door for me that I can preach the gospel. Now, I'm not saying in any way using this verse saying, hey, Paul was kind of like a little traveling, you know, ministry team, right? And he traveled. I'm not saying, hey, like he asked them to pray for him and his team. Why don't you folks pray for us and our team? That's not what I'm saying at all. He is talking here about praying evangelistically. I think it's perfect for us this week. How does a church pray evangelistically? I mean, the duty of the church given at the Great Commission is that we take the gospel to the ends of the world, right? I mean, we take the gospel to the ends of the world. But how are you going to take the gospel to the ends of the world? You live in Rochester, Pine Island area. I mean, how are you going to take the gospel to the ends of the world? God's called you here. I hope that's why you're here. So how does the church get the gospel to Indonesia? Okay. It's awesome. We have missionaries, right? And we send them and we support them. And that's how the church and we send. We send the good news of the gospel through these people to the uttermost parts of the world. But my first question would be, when it comes time to praying evangelistically, do you pray for those who are taking the gospel to the ends of the world? Do you pray for missionaries? Your church, I'm sure, has missionaries that you support. I mean, grabbing one, making it a you know, adopting a missionary a month that you just work through your missionaries in a year's time, where you're praying for them. And what are you praying? Listen to what he says. He says, pray that God would open up a door. You're not praying for God to do something normal. You're praying that God would work a miracle. You're praying that God would, blast the doors wide open. That the gospel would go forth. And then it says, the Great Commission was to take the gospel to the ends of the world, but then backing on up, all the way, the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 was to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. So you have this bigger and bigger, bigger circle. But I mean, let's bring the gospel all the way down. And how does the church pray when it comes to your area of Pine Island, Rochester, whatever? You're to pray that God would use the ministry of this church to spread the gospel in this area. Pray that way. What would it look like? Once again, this isn't asking for normal. This is asking for God to work a miracle. I think about a church that I was at over in Ohio, a church that I've been to many, many times. And I was there at the church, but before I got to the church, I was on the phone with the pastor, and he said, "Aaron, you're not going to believe what God has done." I love when I hear a statement like that. Their church was right beside the high school, and the public high school, and then right on the other side of it was the middle school, and they've been trying for years and years and years and years and years to get into the high school. Running into a brick wall after a brick wall after a brick wall with the school board. And he said, "Aaron," he said, "you're not going to believe what happened." He said, the middle school just got a new principal, and he is a born-again Christian, and he said, "I'm going to do everything I can to get you into our school." He said, "I got to be careful or we'll get the door slammed in our face." And so he starts trying, but he's having a hard time because they just won't let, in this day and age, let a church have access and to kids to talk to them. They have a Christian club, but then it has to be just voluntary and that nobody even knows about their Christian club over at their church after school. And so finally he said, "You know what? I've worked it out." This is the principal to this pastor. He said, "I've worked it out." He said, "I can't let you have access to the kids." He said, "But I've worked it out where I can get you access to the parents at a PTA meeting." So he goes in and he gets to tell them all about their church and what they do for this after school club, this Christian club over at their church. He gets to tell hundreds of parents at this PTA meeting. And he said, "I got so many kids coming." He said, "We're seeing kids get saved." He said, "We got so many kids." He said, "I'm convinced that most of the parents are just seeing us and using us as after-school babysitting." He said, "We don't care." He said, "They're coming and we're preaching the gospel to them." He said, "Aaron, it's a miracle." Folks, you know what? Sometimes I think we don't really believe God does miraculous things in our day. He does. It's not these signs and wonders that we saw, in the book of Acts, but I'm telling you, he is still a God who does miracles. And I feel like we sometimes don't see him do big things because we don't pray for him to do big things. Folks, what, this church, why are you here? I was with you folks when you were still in a movie theater, all right? Why are you here? I was on my way to Rochester, not yesterday, Saturday, but the Saturday before. And as we're driving past, right up here, everybody on the highway going by can see you. I was like, "Hey, there's where we're going to be in a week from now." It's hard to miss your church. Why are you here? Just some brilliant men making a brilliant move? Or did God put you here? Did God put this church here to be a lighthouse in this area? Folks, we got to believe this. And then here's the last one, okay? So we need to pray as the gospel goes out around the world. We need to pray that God would just bust the doors open right in the Pine Island for the gospel to go forth coming out of your church, but then bringing it all the way down to the closest part of who you are. Do you pray that God would open up doors of opportunity for you to share the gospel? Why are we still here? I'm going to tell you something. Heaven is much better than here. Why don't we just get saved, get baptized, and off we go? No, God leaves us here. We get to be a part of what he's doing. Folks, he's building his church. He said the gates of hell can't prevail against it. He's going to build his church, and he actually saves us, calls us out, makes us a part of his church, and we actually get to be a part of what he is doing in this world. That's why we're here. And folks, we need to know that, and we need to feel that, and we need to, at any point in our life, we need to look at our life and say, who is it right now that maybe I'm supposed to be reaching with the gospel? Now, we can't save people. God didn't put that on our list of responsibilities to save people. Folks, but he did tell us to be sharing the good news of the gospel. So if you were to take your life right now, and you were to say, okay, so I'm here for the purpose of getting the gospel to people around me. I mean, who would be, maybe, if you were just going to think about your context of life, maybe in a year from now it's different, but your context of life right here, right now, who would be the top 3-4 prospects of people who you should be moving towards with the gospel? I mean, maybe it's somebody you work with. Man, you're stuck on a work project with this guy. He's not getting away from you for 3 months. You got this lady who just moved in down the, next door to you. She's not getting away from you anytime soon. Or maybe it's somebody who's been living beside you for 15 years. You waved to Sue. But if you were just going to take your life and say, God, right now, I really and truthfully believe that I am here in this context of life, rubbing shoulders with these people that you have me rubbing shoulders with, and it's not an accident, it's on purpose. God, who is it that I need to just be praying that you would open up a door of opportunity? Folks, pray that God does something miraculous in your relationship with Sue, who you wave to 2 or 3, 4 times a week. Pray that God would do something, pray that God would do something, a miracle with this guy who's stuck on this work project with you. Folks, we got to pray this way. God, open up a door for me to speak the mystery of Christ. Do we believe that we have the words of life? Folks, may God help us. This would be my last challenge. We have 2 minutes. I want to take them to give you a chance to just pray. Would you just pray? Maybe say, God, who, if I was going to be really, really honest with my life, who would be the top 3 to 4 prospects? Who is it that I keep bumping into? I mean, it seems like every time I go to the grocery store, there she is. I just keep ending up on her aisle. I don't know. Or however it is, say, God, who would be the top 3 prospects of maybe who it is that I'm supposed to get to? Now, folks, you don't know if they'll get saved. That's not, God's the one who works that miracle. But, folks, who is it that we need to be moving towards, and pray that God would open the door for you to speak the truth of the gospel to them? I bring this up, I'm going to be sharing the gospel right here on Friday night, or Thursday night, rather. I mean, I am going to, in the midst of our music, and just the introductions to the songs, I'm going to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the life-giving words of life about Jesus Christ right here. I mean, maybe praying, God, would you help Sue come on Thursday night and hear the gospel? I don't know. But can we just take a minute? Just right now, just in your mind, would you just pray, talk to the Lord and say, God, who is it that I need to be moving towards? And would you open up doors for me? Open up doors for me to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Can we pray that way? All right, let's just take a minute. I'll close this out in just a moment, and then we'll be done. Oh, Father, would you please help us, Lord, to have such a big view of who, what you're doing in this world today. Lord, may we not get lost listening to the news and get despondent believing that you're not in control. Lord, you are in control of everything. And you are your church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. And you've called us to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, may we see the privilege that it is. May we see the duty that we have. And may we give ourselves. Lord, may we be people who pray. Lord, may we be people who pray. God, help us today. Lord, would you meet with us in this service that's coming up? Lord, would you take our efforts of worshiping you? Would you glorify yourself, Father? Help us. Thank you for this church. Lord, this local representation of what you do and what you're doing. God, may we worship you today. Help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, thank you, folks.